Hey friends, welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast with David Langiuli, your intrepid warrior getting over knee replacement surgery, and my good friend and colleague Margaret Katzcan. Hey Margaret.
Hey David, yes, you're moving back towards intrepid, but it's been a limpy journey for you to get back, huh?
Being back to my intrepid one. It's taking a bit of warriorship to come back from the surgery and also slowing down, and that's kind of the topic of our podcast. There's an old Taxi episode with Jim Ignatowski and the crew from Taxi going to the DMV, and he's taking his writing exam, and he's shouting out to the guys like, "What does a yellow light mean?" And they're shouting back at him. "What?" And then he goes, "One is a yellow light mean." Slow down.
Slow it down. Your audio is not perfect, so I hope other
Okay.
people could hear that better than I could.
All right. Yeah. Well, wait, this is the imperfect podcast. Maybe we should just
Is just
change the
imperfect.
name. It's a good
Yes.
name for a podcast.
The
I think
imperfect
maybe.
podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So today, I think based on the slow journey back from surgery that David is on, and also his choice of entertainment, we've started thinking about. I think this conversation started honestly when David, and I'll let him share what he's watching, but it is from a couple of decades ago. And we were noticing how shows and movies that were filmed in the 80s and the first part of the 90s had a patience. And the camera shots held longer, and now there's so much like go, 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 go. It's just a very different pace. And we were thinking, huh, that's kind of a whole metaphor for life right now, isn't it?
It is. So the big reveal is that David Lynch, movie director, died a few weeks ago, and I'm an admirer of his work. And hadn't seen the TV series Twin Peaks since it aired in like 1990. So my wife and I, Lillian and I, are going through it like one ep we're going through it slowly. One episode an evening, and I'm just marveling at the pace of the series. It unfold The plot unfolds very slowly, and the craftsmanship of the movie making, you could just see it. It's like in anything, like when you see a good wood carving or a painting or other forms of art, sculpting, that it was sort of a slow process unfolding. And so we wanted to talk about that in terms of relationships today a little bit. Stephen Covey, one of his Coveyisms is like, with people, slow is fast and fast is slow. Give
Yeah.
that
What do you think he meant by that?
to my clients a lot, who are leaders in nonprofit organization. They go, "Huh?"
Like when I think what you're like when you try to race through something, sometimes it slows you down, right? It's like when you drive too fast and you get a speeding ticket, it takes you much longer to get there if then just sort of keep it slow. And that when you go more slowly or more intentionally or more patiently, sometimes it's like the tortoise and the hare, right? That old
Ultimately,
parable. Yeah.
fable, parable, yeah.
Fable. Yeah.
It's true. Technology, in my opinion, not just my opinion, but a lot of people say this, actually speeds things up. So we go from, I remember the fax being like an amazing thing. because then I could communicate to Europe and make appointments, right? But you still had to type something out, and you had to print it out, and you had to put it into the fax machine, and then you had to wait a day or two for a response. But it was the telephone, right? That sped things up. And then you had email and then texting. So with what the farther down, and now you have Slack, and I don't even use it. So all of these technologies are designed to speed things up, except when it comes to human relations, guess what, folks? Slow is fast. And I get a lot of, well, I sent a text, or I sent an email. And I was like, well, how's that working out for you?
Instead of having conversation, you mean?
Instead of having conversations. I'm like, okay, so that person you emailed, how far away is their office from your office? Oh, they're just down the hall.
I think at the end of the day, technology has gotten to a point, it has accelerated to a speed that is just a mismatch with our nervous systems and how long it takes most humans to process information, to process conversations, to write. Like when you have things coming at you so fast, your body just can't quite keep up. I mean, we can, and we can make it through a work day, but I just think there's a different price tag that we pay.
For those of you in the audience who are fundraisers and leading fundraising teams, I think at the heart you know this, especially if you are a mega gifts type fundraiser. Slowing down is how those gifts emerge, not by speeding up.
Yeah. And I don't think we're saying, let's go back to faxing instead of texting or email. That's not what we're saying. And I think probably this is a little bit of a generational question too.
It
I
is.
think people who have their whole lives had these faster technologies, maybe their wiring speeds up to move faster, but I doubt it.
I think a lot gets lost in from what I, you and I train leaders and fundraisers on recapturing their intuition. Except in a lot of intuition is non-language based. This
Most.
is all of it.
Just saying.
You might be able to intuit from a text or a email what the emotion is behind it, but oftentimes this is where things go south, because it is hard to, and there's a lot of misinterpretation that goes on.
Have you ever been with somebody and they're, having a hard conversation with somebody and they read you a text that they've received and they re you know, it might be 8 words in the sentence and they read it 8 times with the emphasis on each word, and you realize like, oh, that could mean 8 different things.
Exactly. And in leadership, this is so important. There's a lot of sort of conversations around AI, and I'm not quite sure where AI will come into the realm of leadership, but leadership is mostly still about people. And AI can be helpful in some ways, with the as is texting and as is emailing, and telephone calls. All these are helpful tools in human relations, but they aren't human relations.
Right, they don't replace the other thing.
They don't. And in the end of the day, if you're in an organization, or you have a family, like think about how many misreads there have been in your family around texts.
Yeah.
And these are
Although,
people you know well.
that's true. But on the other hand, if I didn't text, I don't think I would talk to my sons very often. Well.
Oh, that's true. So we're not saying throw it out. I certainly Margaret likes to text more than I do, and I've upped my game in texting with Margaret, and she's upped her game with email with me because she knows I prefer that format a little bit more. More because of the asynchronous nature of email, whereas texting, I find you have to really be on it.
Yeah.
It's a more of a real time thing. But with people, what I've noticed is when I've coached clients, especially when they're having tricky relationships with their boss, with subordinates, with colleagues, I encourage them to slow down. I encourage them to pick up the phone. The phone is the next best thing to being with someone in person, I find.
Yeah, there's this part of me that wants to circle back as you were watching Twin Peaks, and I don't remember what I was watching, but at the same time, something that's a few decades older and really just was so aware of how long the camera shots would linger. And, instead of a 2 second cut or a 0.07 second cut, it's like a full 12 seconds looking at something. And there was something in my nervous system and in my system that really responded to the slowing down of that pace. And I'm so curious, like we've gotten into texting. There is a relationship here, but I'm not 100% clear on what it was. So what was your wisdom, David, when you just noticed like this very different cadence of an older, a show that's from a few decades ago that caught its breath in a different way than anything you would watch now?
Well, it has. So the thing about Twin Peaks, as sort of David Lynch and how he came up in movie making, which is, he learned from some of the masters like Alfred Hitchcock, right? Quality, the quality is so much greater than anything you see today. The long shots, the long pauses, the storytelling, right? And by the way, fundraising's, as we know, and there's a ton of training out there. You do more of this than I do, but storytelling is super important in fundraising. But you cannot enroll someone in the possibility of a multi-million dollar gift unless you slow it down and you just do some good storytelling, which takes time, slows
Yeah.
down. Yeah. So that's
So,
what I'm noticing. It's like I'm appreciating the quality of that. And that takes an investment. Like that's why people don't do it now, right? Because they want to speed it up, do it fast, get it out. And there's some wisdom in that too.
yeah. So it's almost like there's this list of things that can happen when you slow it down. Things we can learn from watching Twin Peaks or other shows a few decades ago. And there's this quality of patient storytelling, of not having to rush through the story. That feels important. There's a moment to take a little extra time to notice the scene, right? To take in the information without it coming in this rapid fire way into your brain. Just what happens if you slow it down, if you take a pause, if you intentionally try to notice what's in this scene before it cuts away to something new.
Well, and you're a writer, Margaret, and you're sort of putting the finishing touches on your next book, which I hope will be coming out soon.
Thank you.
And so hang in there, audience. Margaret's next book's coming out. And well, I'm curious. It's nonfiction, but even good nonfiction is storytelling. So say a little bit about your experience in writing, because this is another art form.
Yeah, every scene, here's a great example. Every scene, that I might write and I might describe something that happened. And then when I slow it down and I go back to that scene and I add dialogue, when I take the time to be patient with it and instead of just describing what somebody said, I actually add the structure to have them say it, and then what happened, and then what happened. You know, those scenes get so much better because the person gets to follow along. You know, it's not me just summarizing. I'm not given the summary of what happened. I'm actually retelling in real time. Well, not in real time, but in a very patient way. Here's what happened in that conversation. And I think it's way more compelling to have
I think
done that.
that's true in fiction also. You know, good works of fiction are quite lengthy,
Can be.
typically. Yeah, it can be, unless they're a short story, right? That's a different genre, right? But novels, let's say, are lengthy and with lots of detail and embellishment and threads that go in a direction and then it gets picked up later. And so that's the art of human relations, is slowing it down. Like I'm mindful of my wife Lillian, and I have had a tradition since we met on Long Island of over 25 years ago, almost 30 years ago now. Sundays is our time together, Sunday mornings. And in many of the places we've lived, we've been close to the beach, so we go out to the beach and then we just sit for a few hours and hold each other's hands and talk.
You don't Google stuff together or read your phones to each other? No.
He might go for a walk and have a conversation with her dad, you know, take a break from talking to me. But that's just how intimacy is created. When you slow down. And when I say intimacy, we mean just say good, close, trusting relationship.
Which is an incredibly important concept for leaders and their teams, for
Well, we think so.
fundraisers
We
and their
think so.
donors, creating trust and space and patience in relationships. I think everybody wants to be seen as a person first.
I mean, I think there's this myth that like there's the hyper-rational myth. We could almost call it a saboteur.
Almost.
Yeah, that, you know, okay, you know, we have to set all that aside when we come to work. Actually, no. It's more important, you know, that we know from the field of an emotional intelligence is that the best leaders slow down and are listening. Like just listening is a tool for slowing down.
Absolutely. And it's part of what happens when you slow down, too.
And you can start to sense when someone is not quite like they may say something that you notice is maybe there's irritability there, right? But unless you slow down and say, "Hey, is everything okay?" and notice you might be feeling a little off or a little irritable today. Is everything all right? And you give the space for whoever's having this conversation with to say, like, "Oh yeah, you know, my kid threw up all over me this morning." Right?
So I
So.
think maybe we can challenge our listeners, find something old to watch, right? David strongly recommends Twin Peaks, but if that's not your jam, just any movie or TV show, you know, that's probably from the 80s or the early, I would say the early 90s. I feel like things started speeding up partway through the 90s.
Anything from the 40s to the 80s, I would say.
Yeah, just notice like the patience of these movies relative to what we consume today and think about where that patience and slowing down and looking at things a little bit longer might serve you.
Yeah. And have fun with that. Like, and see how you might slow down. Because there's so much speed in society now. And just noticing when you're caught up in that, and maybe just take a breath. That's another way of slowing down.
Yeah.
Right? Just like take a breath and look around.
Yep.
Smell the roses
Wait,
as
smell
you're,
the flowers. There it is. We both got
there
there.
it is. All
Slow
right,
down
here we
and smell
go.
the roses. Okay.
All right, take care,
Enough.
guys. Yeah, that's it for this time.